interviews, and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and if you still need to get your hands on some official FFA gear for back to school, then don't miss the chance to get an additional 20% off at shopffa.org during their clearance event. It is now through the end of this weekend and through Sunday night while supplies last. Simply use promo code LASTCHANCE20 at checkout for an additional 20% off clearance items. Once again, that's promo code LASTCHANCE20 at shopffa.org through Sunday. Also, for advisors, the National FFA Foundation has partnered with the National Association of Agricultural Educators to provide teachers with a week-long lesson focused on agriculture conservation practices, supported by Midwest Row Crop Collaborative. Now, these education materials follow up a large marketing campaign in grocery stores focused on connecting consumer purchases to supporting farmers and agricultural education. You can access the free instructional materials online at NAAE.org. Well, last week we brought you some testimonials from attendees of this year's Washington Leadership Conference. This week, let's hear a bit more of what those members gained from their experience and what they'll be taking back to their home chapters.
We got to keep people to be involved with it because it doesn't just start with us, it starts with everyone, so even people under us. So I believe that with that aspect of the population growing and how more intense the agriculture industry is going to grow, I think more people have to have compassion for different ways to be involved with agriculture. Everybody is different, and it's important to have compassion for others who don't necessarily look like you or talk like you or, you know, are you. It's important to realize that we're all people. We all have the same common goal, which is to have a purpose to be involved and to make it where you're being intentional with your work, and you're not just doing it because, you know, you don't want to do it or because it's important to do it. And just to see the way that we as people of this world, how impactful that is and what we can do to help. I think that that session really sparked a lot of people's interest to want to seek out others and have way more compassion. We go back to that word compassion because you have to have compassion for other people's needs. And that's when it goes to diversity again, because that's a diverse situation. You put a rich person next to a poor person, and then when you break out the two, oh, we have diversity in this room because you have $1,000 but I only have $5. So I thought that one was by far one of the ones that it definitely stuck to me the most.
It was really cool hearing how other people brought in, like, you know, their potential for agriculture, even though they didn't live on a farm or work on a farm. And I'm sort of in the same situation. So hearing from their stories, I was able to build up what I kind of wanted to do back at home. And I thought that, you know, that was very important to hear.
In my FFA chapter, I'd love to make sure that we're listening to everyone's opinions and recognizing that because of our diversity in our chapter and in our state, as far as agriculture is concerned, it's important to follow those messages and listen and make sure you understand everyone and take what you learn from them. And instead of ridiculing them for a different opinion, use it, understand it, and make sure that you know why they're thinking that way so you can take a step back and understand maybe your opinion might change. And it's all for the better. So just make sure you're always looking at diversity as a positive, as a strength, rather than a reason to oppress someone.
It's definitely okay to be different. Before I came to this conference, I was a little skeptical and like a little unsure, being completely honest, just because I am different because of my race. And that goes back to when this organization was first started. Even white females weren't allowed to be a part of the organization. It was only for white males. So getting a chance to be able to just be in a room with, you know, so many different personalities, they get a chance to experience what it's like coming from the rural and like urban aspect, and just like hearing out so many different people's stories and perspectives is by far amazing. And I just think it's something that really prepares people for the real world, because like we don't live in a black world or a white world. It's more of a, we're all together.
Well, that's just a bit of the great lessons in leadership taken from this year's conference. And now we head to the Bluegrass State, where, for the first time this year, Kentucky high school students and FFA members had the chance to put their ag knowledge to the test through a hands-on interactive field scouting competition. The University of Kentucky's Jeff Franklin covered the action.
It was a cloudy and overcast morning at UK's Research and Education Center, which made for comfortable temperatures, not usually the case for July in western Kentucky, but welcomed by the crop scouting teams. The eight high school teams, consisting of 4 to 6 members, rotated through 10 stations in the competition, ranging from soil properties to
a morning glory. Can anybody tell me what kind of morning glory?
To weeds, corn agronomics, and more, in a very hands-on event.
Basically, our students are coming here, they're doing the hands-on activities with some of our pests, so insects, diseases, weeds. We're teaching them how to scout fields, work with some of our soil issues, and also some basic corn and soybean agronomics as well.
Kirsten Wise said the competition is very similar to what a professional crop scout or consultant would do in their job, and gives UK a chance to showcase its facilities.
We think this is a great opportunity for the University of Kentucky to interact with high school students, particularly students that are interested in agriculture.
Of course, I did some scouting when I was back in high school and college.
Bobby Schmidt, who has taught agriculture at Livingston County for 25 years, was excited about the opportunity to bring his students to the competition and be so close to home.
I've been over here several times for field days and stuff, and if nobody's ever been here, it's really a neat place because you see so much on relatively a small acreage. And I think it's a good representation of West Kentucky, the soils that we have, and a lot of the growing conditions.
Schmidt liked the fact the contest involved UK specialists guiding the students through the stations. UK faculty, graduate students, and interns all were involved in the competition, and the students in the contest said they learned a lot.
Like in the field, going and like staging corn and like which stage it comes in, and like I learned the same with like soybeans. I got to learn like where you look at the plant, like which node you need to look at and different stuff like that, so that was pretty cool.
I believe it will give me foresight for the future to kind of see what I'd be getting into, like taking like college courses, saying, well, hey, this is kind of what this is about, you know, give me just a little bit of information before you dive deep into that big terminology.
Officials at UK's Research and Education Center hope to make the competition an annual event. From the University of Kentucky College of Agriculture, Food and Environment, I'm Jeff Franklin reporting.
And the top three teams in that contest each received prize money. Of course, a big congratulations to them. Stay tuned. We head to Missouri next, right here on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM. And thanks for tuning in this week. Now we're off to the Show Me State, where Mike Davis and Jim Dickerson of 102.7 KPGZ in Kearney, Missouri, catch up with local FFA members to find out what keeps them busy year-round.
We've got Erica McBee, and Erica, you are with the Kearney FFA chapter. Is that right?
That is correct.
And what do you do over there at the FFA?
Well, I am their advisor. I've been at Kearney for 4 years. We started the Kearney FFA program and the Kearney Agriculture program 4 years ago. So
right.
Still pretty new.
We have Aiden Foltz and Faith Mick. And you are both members of the FFA. And I can see right there that you have your embroidered shirts on. They're very cool, matching embroidered shirts. And Aiden, you've got your secretary. It says 2018-2019 secretary. Tell me about that.
Yeah, last year I was the secretary. And then this year, I was elected president of our chapter.
For people who don't know, what do you guys participate in throughout the year?
Good question.
Yeah, we go to a lot of leadership events. We go to national and state convention. In the spring, we have CDEs, which are like contest teams that we go on. So this year, I was in floriculture, and Faith was in agronomy. So we just go and compete with other schools.
For agronomy, my contest, we studied all the different kinds of seeds and like weeds in the Missouri area. And so we would identify what each different seed was and then what the plant looks like once it's grown. And then we also took a test just like about the seeds and like their growing conditions, when to harvest them and stuff like that.
So what else do you guys do throughout the year?
We go at one point in the year, we have an opportunity to go to like a public speaking academy. So where they just will help us to be better public speakers.
I can tell it's worked. Say, it's worked.
Yeah, actually, you guys,
you're doing a great job. Yeah.
Thank you. And we just go to a bunch of leadership events throughout the year. Our Green Hands, which are our first year members, have the opportunity to go to like their own leadership sessions. And we take them to a conference at the beginning of the year and like where they get inducted to be in FFA.
There is a technical aspect now, you know, computers and so forth. Tell me about some of the things that I might not be aware of that FFA does in terms of technology.
So I would say in the classroom, we do a lot of labs that are like on computers or using WebQuest, which are like they can gather temperature, dissolved oxygen, just whatever we're doing a experiment over. So we get a lot of practice on the computers using technology like that. And then with all of our sensors.
Yeah. And that brings up a good point. So what are you guys wanting to do in the future?
I've always wanted to be a teacher like since I was little. So being an ag teacher is definitely something I'm considering. Or working in like the ag business field somewhere. My sister is actually going to Northwest this next year to major in ag business. So I'll see where that takes her and if that's something right. that I'm interested in.
Let her go first.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good plan. Yep. And what do you want to do?
So I'm kind of along the same lines as Aiden. So I'm thinking about being an ag teacher or possibly like ag sales or marketing. Mm-hmm. And then I've also kind of the last few years been going on and off between a veterinarian.
Oh, good.
Doing something yeah. in that field.
What else is going on over there at the school?
Yeah, we have a brand new classroom. It's very big compared to our other one and it has a lot of new updates. And we also got a greenhouse out, like just outside of the school that our plant science class uses to grow plants and just
experiment.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to experiment with. Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of experiments do you do?
I was in the animal science class last year, but this year I'm taking the plant science class.
Do you do any animal experiments, like try to grow weird animals?
No, we did get to dissect some animals, though.
Really?
Yeah.
What are we dissecting these days?
We dissected,
pigs.
Yeah,
yeah,
pigs.
What is it you're doing it for? What are you trying to, what are you learning?
Mostly to just like identify the internal part of pigs or any animal that we're identifying.
Like the organs and how yeah. it works and all that right. sort of thing.
Yeah.
We like to say like any student can get something out of this program, regardless right. if they continue a career in agriculture mm-hmm. or if they live inside city limits, they mm-hmm. can get something out of the program.
I think that's right. And, you know, hats off to the Kearney, Missouri School District for recognizing that and, you know, and building infrastructure to accommodate it.
Absolutely. The school district, really cool. the community has been incredibly supportive mm-hmm. and just letting us kind of build our dream and design what we want. Right. And the numbers, like the enrollment that we have for kids just mm-hmm. keeps growing. So I think we can see like kids love it. There's a need for it there.
How many kids do you have in the program?
I have just over 100 in class.
Wow.
And then I have 52. Last year we had 52 in FFA. Wow. And you have to be enrolled in a class to be in FFA.
Oh, I see.
It's an intracurricular organization.
Well, outstanding. We have had a terrific day today. I want to thank Erica McBee, who's just been one of our local teachers from the Kearney chapter of the FFA. Aiden Foltz and Faith Mick, both who are FFA members. Thank you so much for listening to us here.
Well, don't go anywhere. We'll learn about a member earning accolades for work that's also bringing her closer to her father. Hear how next on FFA Today. Welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Madison Cook, a Delaware member whose SAE project allows her to work closely with and support her FFA advisor, who's been bound to a wheelchair by a degenerative muscle disease. That advisor also just so happens to be her father.
Joining me today is Madison Cook, and she is coming to us from Vermont. And she is a former student and FFA member at Caesar Rodney High School in Camden, Delaware. Madison, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this.
Good. Well, I'm glad to speak with you. And now, let's talk about your time in the FFA. So when did you first become an FFA member?
So my freshman year was my first official year in the FFA chapter. My district didn't offer a middle school program. So officially, it was my freshman year. But well before that, I was going to FFA meetings, going to statewide events, doing as much as I could, especially with my dad being my advisor. It was just kind of bred into me to be a part of the FFA. I loved it from the get-go. But like I said, officially, it was my freshman year. That's when I started running for chapter officer, when I started to being able to compete with the Creed competition. So that's where it all started.
Got it. So with you and your dad being your advisor, obviously growing up, FFA was something that was being talked about and you were involved in. And so I always ask everybody why they joined. In your case, it almost seems mm-hmm. obvious, but why did you join?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, my dad, he had a big influence on me, but it was just so exciting. Like growing up, I saw people practice for competitions and get to travel over the country showing livestock and competing at nationals. And it just had this like really exciting energy to it. And these kids, I got to see them transform from their freshman year to senior years. And even though I was younger than them, I could still see how they had grown throughout the years and evolved as leaders and had become sharper individuals and learned how to talk in front of groups and be more outgoing and have more experiences in their lives because they weren't as lucky to come from a farm like I was, mm-hmm. but to see how they took a hold of the agriculture industry and made it a part of their life, like that inspired me. And so that was what made me so excited to join. So although my dad was the advisor, I did it for myself because I wanted to go through that evolution and grow as an individual too. So
very good. And you talked about running for office and officer positions. Did you become an officer eventually?
Yeah. So all 4 years at high school, I was in some position. I had served as reporter. I had served as secretary, vice president. And then my senior year, I was the president. And it was a lot of, it was really exciting. I was really happy to be able to impact my chapter and try to show the members all the opportunities the FFA chapter had to offer them.
Well, that's fantastic. Let's talk about your supervised agricultural experience. So what were you doing throughout high school for that SAE?
Yeah, so I had a few different projects. I would say my two most like ones that I loved the most were my swine project and then my raised bed project. So my swine project consisted of raising sow or raising piglets and stuff, breeding sows, showing the swine at the National Junior Swine Association circuit. At our state fair, we showed them. And then also like the meat market. So my swine project was definitely very big. That was probably my focus throughout my entire high school career. There was a bunch of different aspects. Like we had the meat production side, but we also had like the show industry side, which is like two very different industries within swine. That's definitely something that's like evolved over the years is you have your production side and then you have your show side. And that's probably the most interesting thing that like I learned with that is there's a bunch of different perspectives all the time. And so it's really important to like evaluate them. And then my raised beds, I had gotten a grant like my freshman or sophomore year, $1,000 grant to put my raised beds in. And so I have like five of them. And each year I would have like my winter crop, which is like cabbage and broccoli, stuff like that. And then I would put in like squash and tomatoes for the summertime. And I would use that to put in fair entries at our state fair and the FFA building. But then also I would donate a lot of that food and sell it at our ice cream stand. Mm-hmm. So there's also a bunch of different things I did with that. And that was a lot of fun. I chose to do raised beds because my dad, he's in a wheelchair. So that gave him the ability to help me with my crop. And also gave him something to do as well. So I have a lot of pride in both of those projects that I did. And I also did cattle, sheep, and goats. But those were a little more on the side compared to the other two projects I had.
Wow. Wow. That is great. And I love the motivation behind the raised beds, just that where you incorporated the idea or you kind of altered the idea so that you and your dad could work together on that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
What is it, inspired by your desire to be able to work with your dad on something agricultural, or was that once you received the grant, you went, what can I do to be able to do that?
Yeah, I definitely think it was me wanting to work with my dad. Me and my sister are both definitely daddy's girls. He's taught us so much. And we definitely love to soak up that knowledge. And so it was an opportunity for not only me to be active in another outlet of the agriculture industry, because up until that point, we had only really done like showing livestock. We hadn't really done anything with like horticulture and doing like crops and stuff. So this is like my chance to seek new knowledge in that field of my dad's brain, I guess you could say, because he knows so much. And so I definitely wanted to include him in this journey because he had helped me so much. And I knew it would be a really good chance for him to get active and help me out there, like pulling weeds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I am so glad I did that because, like I said, like he has so much knowledge. So just sitting there pulling weeds, just talk, and you just learn so much in his stories and just like about my dad in general. I got to like get to know him better. So I definitely wanted the raised beds to be something we could do together. And I definitely wouldn't have changed that because it definitely has helped me a lot.
Wow. So what did it mean to you when you found out that you had been awarded that SAE grant and it was going to be possible for you to be able to do this?
I was super excited. That was the first grant I had applied for, and my dad had helped me get it done and helped me make sure it would be competitive. And at the time, like, I didn't realize how great of an impact it would have. I didn't realize all the great things that would come out of it. I learned so much, but I had no idea at the time of getting the grant that this would all happen. So I was definitely super appreciative. Whenever you are awarded something like that, there's always great opportunity there. It was definitely a great opportunity.
Now, is your dad permanently in the wheelchair, or was that a temporary condition at the time?
It's something that has evolved over the years. So he was diagnosed with limb girdle muscle dystrophy when he was about my age, maybe a little bit younger. And it's like a slow onset of muscle dystrophy where the muscles just deteriorate. So now he is permanently in a wheelchair, but my whole life he hasn't been. Mm-hmm. It's just like slowly progressed to where he is now.
Gotcha.
That's why it's really important to get him active and like back into the things that like he was doing when he was younger.
Well, now along the way, there's been proficiency awards and things like that as well?
Yep. I have a few. My dad also helped me get those ones. I have a dairy proficiency. I also have the Star Farmer for like the state level. I didn't go to like nationals with that. And then I have a bunch of different CDEs with like livestock judging, dairy judging. I competed in Creed, dairy handling. Yeah, I did like colt. And then there's specific awards for each officer position. So I gotten that for the president position. I had a science fair project I did with a partner, and we won at the states and went to nationals. A bunch of different stuff.
Man, you have taken advantage of every single opportunity afforded to you through the FFA and then some. I want to ask you, if there's another student out there listening, maybe they're just getting started in the FFA, and what advice would you have for them?
Definitely ask. No questions are dumb. I know sometimes I feel like, oh, like everyone should know this, and I'm like embarrassed to ask it. But no, like definitely ask questions. And also, like, there's more out there than you realize. Even in the FFA industry and the chapter, there's CDEs that like may not be commonly competed in that you might not know about. But if you just say like, these are all the things I'm interested in and lay it all out there and just have a really good connection and morale with your advisor, and they are going to be willing to like open doors for you. And it's just a matter of throwing yourself out there and like not being scared of like what interests you and like what you want to do. It's really important to just really throw yourself out there.
Well, you have an incredible story, and you've just got a wonderful heart for service and helping other people, Madison. It has been absolutely my pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Well, certainly a heartwarming story from Matt this week. Well, that'll bring the show to a close, but if you have something that you'd like to share on the program, or an idea of something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. You can shoot us an email at ffatoday@ffa.org, or just give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.